Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. For He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. And if you're listening to us every day, we appreciate that. And hopefully you're hearing this on the radio station that is carrying this. If not, you're listening to us online, and you know that there's radio archives there, or I'm letting everybody know that. And you can find today's text right there on the front page. If you missed that, you can hit where it says Daily Blog and find all the teachings there and the audio and the text right there, so you can print it out and study it for yourself. And what's on the show is often a lot longer than what's on the text version there, but it provides a good outline. And also you can hear sermons right there from voiceofvision.org. There's a sermon button there. You can hear them all right there, or go to the sermon audio page. And again, there's radio archives and find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship. And we mentioned this. These things quite a lot because we have new visitors all the time, and we just want to remind you of these things. We're very excited about that. You can email me, PastorJD at voiceofvision.org. Well, today's message we're going to entitle In the Game. In the Game. Now, Christianity is not a game, friends, but it's like it in a lot of senses. We need to not just be a spectator, we need to be in the game. And a lot of times people think that we're not in the game when we really are. And so I'm going to have a word for men in the ministry right now, but also for people that you are discipling. Oh, by the way, are you discipling anybody? Well, that's what the church is supposed to do. Well, the church does that through people and not just the paid people or the people that want to get with it. You should be discipling anybody that you can and everybody that you should. And if there are men out there listening that are fathers, you should be discipling your children and helping your wife, and you both helping them and each other. Well, let's get to it here now. Romans 1:8. This is Paul speaking, and he says this. He goes, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. And you realize when you look at all his epistles, he talks about grace and peace, and I thank God for you and all of that, because even though he had to do a lot of correcting, he was thankful that he had someone to correct. Again, men that are in ministry, you need to think about this. We should be grateful that people volunteer or do anything at our churches at all. I mean, if they're even attempting to do it, yes, I realize that sometimes it's a hard thing to get people motivated. And then when you do, you almost got to bridle them because they just want to do it their own way and don't want to be submissive. They just say, I want to do this, I want to do that, and want you to sign off on what they're going to do. And all it really is doing is making more work for you. And then they blame you for it, for not getting done. Whew! But you know, we should be grateful that people volunteer to do anything in our churches at all. And I want you to think about something here that perhaps you hadn't thought about, or it's good to remember these things. You know, Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 said, for me to repeat myself is not tedious for me, and it's safe for you. I mean, how many times have you given out the gospel? Does that mean you're never going to give it out again? So no, we understand that some things it's good to review. But now the Bible talks about Christians, and it talks about the soils. And, you know, Jesus said in the Gospels that if you don't understand the parable of the soils and the sower, you don't understand the kingdom of God. And in that, he talks about fruit bearing. He talks about the soil that was good, the soil that took root and stayed and grew, and he's talking about Christians, and he says that there's fruit bearing, and he puts it in terms of 30, 60, and 100-fold. And what I want you to notice is that there are differences, and that not every person's going to bear 100-fold, or 60, or 30. It's in different places at different times, in different situations, in different scenarios. Sometimes I'm 100, sometimes I'm 60, sometimes I'm 30. That's not an excuse for people out there to say, well, see, I'm doing the best I can and not really doing the best you can. You know, I really don't like it when people said, well, there's only so much you can do, unless we've actually done that so much. I correct myself a lot with that. It's like, oh, there's only so much you can do. Well, yes, if you've done all that you can do, though. The Bible says, having done all that you can do, stand. So I'm not trying to give an excuse for people today, but I am trying to tell ministers and with yourself, realize that you're not supposed to compare yourself to the 30s, the 60s, the 100. You're supposed to say, God, how good am I doing for what you want me to do? Not everybody's going to be as fruitful as everyone or anyone else. And not all harvests happen at the same time. You think about some people in your church that seem like they were the furthest away from God, and yet, boy, when they caught fire, they were a real house of fire. You see, the biggest trees often take the longest time to grow. The biggest trees often take the longest time to grow. Be glad they're doing anything at all. At least they're in the game. Again, not that it's recreational, but that they're on the right playing field, on the right team, on the winning side. I'm not concerned that we have a bunch of guys that can carry the ball at, you know, and score a touchdown every time. I mean, if we have more people on our team, we're doing better. It's to bring people into the kingdom, let God work on them. At least they're on the winning side. They may not be the star player, but at least they're cheering and playing for the right ones, right? You should think about that. I have to think about that, especially when I see people that I think they ought to be doing better. Sometimes perhaps they ought to. This is not a call to not exhort and admonish people and not to warn them. Certainly we should. But sometimes we have to have a perspective of understanding that we need to be glad, preacher man, for every opportunity that you get. Just like Paul said in a lot of his letters, I thank God for you that you're doing good and you're equipped in all, you know, knowledge and wisdom and utterance and all that, like he said to the Corinthians, and yet then he was about to blast them. He told the Galatians, you know, I would have given you, you know, my whole heart, and you would have given me your eyes. What's changed? He cared. At least he had someone to care about. We should be abundantly grateful that as ministers, you know, let us be honest here, we get paid to study the Bible. We're allowed to spend the extra time others don't have in order to mine the depths of God's Word. So of course we're supposed to be way out ahead of them in that sense. I hope you're being obedient to that. Yes, every believer needs to read the Word and needs to pray and should be congregating and worshiping with others, not just on Sunday, but every chance that they get, and moving forward as fast as they can. But you know what? A lot of people don't have the time to put in the time. You're supposed to be as a leader. You're supposed to be moving ahead. That's what leadership is all about. You're out in front. You give them motivation to keep on using their time as wisely as they can. Not trying to get them to work 80 hours a week. I mean, you think about it. How about you taking up a shovel for 40 hours and then studying for 40 more? I mean, just think about that every once in a while. I'm not trying to guilt you here. And I'm not trying to say relax on people either. Definitely not. I'm saying think about yourself first. Just because you're just a little out in front, are you doing that in 20 hours? Are you not putting in a good week? You need to get in the game, brother man. I'm telling you. And then you need to look at your people and realize that, you know, certain people, and you don't downgrade them, but certain people, including some of the ones you think are best, are just in a cycle, a season of 30-fold. Maybe there's just not a lot of rain in their life, if I could use Christian metaphors. Maybe you're supposed to be the rainmaker, as it were. Maybe you're not the one that's doing your job, and you're accusing them of not doing it. Do you point to the man in the mirror first? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Before you make sure they're in the game or not, you got to make sure that you are in the game before you level a charge against them. You know, we're not called to wear people out. We're called to lift them up. And for some people, all the commitment they can afford right now is just to make it to church. Think about all the people that have kids. You know how hard it is? You got one shoe you can't find. One of them just pooped their diaper again. The other one's complaining they need to go to McDonald's or play a video game, and it's a war, and the husband doesn't want to get up. You know what I'm saying? It's Sunday. It takes you 2 hours just to make a 10-minute trip. But you do it, and they do it because it's worth it, because you show your children how important it is, that it's worth pressing through. And pastor, teacher, lay leader, musician, it's worth staying in the game and putting all you got there to show them that it's worth it too, that you use your time as wisely as you can and you don't just get a little bit ahead of them with that extra 40 hours you got and expect them to do just as well when you're not even trying yourself. Let's have some compassion on people. All the commitment some can afford right now is just barely to make it to church. Again, you should want them to do more, of course, but being a good steward is about doing the most with your time, not sacrificing sleep and your marriage and your relationship with your kids so that you can be there at every event and so forth. Just be sure that you give them what they need from you. Help them learn about what is and what isn't a good use of their time. Show them the beauty of Christ. And show them what leadership and what serving God is supposed to be like. You know, they're going to figure out for themselves with the power of grace, the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, they're going to know how they can make opportunities to serve without having to use more time. They'll learn how to use time wisely. But if all you're using is your own time just to beat them up, you know, you're supposed to lead the sheep, not drive them. It could be a tough time, but again, I say to you, make sure that you're doing the game right before you convince them or try to, you know, cajole them to get in the game themselves. When you're living it, you're making the most use of your time. You're striving to be 30, 60, and 100-fold and finding out that, you know, learning, well, to be easy on yourself in the sense of, well, I'm not supposed to be 100-fold here, I'm only 30, and knowing the difference and saying, no, I should be producing more and all that, not just driving yourself, but not just lazying yourself, if I could say that. Then you'll teach other people to do that, and you won't have to cajole them. They'll want it. But when you're living it, even if they aren't seeing it, they will learn what it means to treasure Christ above all else. And then they will become as fruitful as God intends them to be. That's what you want. You're not trying to say, I want a church of all hundredfold. You should be thinking, I want a church that is as fruitful as God wants it to be. Not being lazy, not just saying, well, it doesn't really matter. Well, some are 30, 60, 100. I guess I got a bunch of 30s. No, friends. You want them to be as fruitful as God intends them to be. But it's up to you, preacher man, to equip them and to cover them in the spiritual war and to steer them onto the right playing field. It's important. You know, if they're going to church on Sunday and Wednesday, maybe even Sunday night, and, you know, a men's breakfast, and they have 3 kids, and they have a full-time job and a wife, and they're a deacon and all that, you can ask them to do more, but be careful for them. They're going to maybe want to do it because they really want to. Some people are so motivated, but you need to help them not do too much. It's your job, preacher man, to go full tilt, full time. And considering your people, they may not play all 4 quarters at full court, you know, in full tilt intensity. But what you got to realize is that at least if they're bearing fruit at all, then you understand that they are in the game. And that is what matters. I hope that you resonated with this exhortation today, and hope that you can have compassion on your people and passion to drive them and, no, lead them. Lead them. Lead the way. Be like Jesus. Let them see your good works and follow after you as you follow after Christ. All the time we have today for the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. See you next time. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always going to be. Right here.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.